We have an opportunity to be still once more as we come to God's Word. A reminder that this is God's inspired and infallible Word, and so we come submitting ourselves to Him and His truth. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come, I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. The word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. It is a light and a lamp. We pray that it would open our eyes to new things about you, about us, and if not new things, that it will remind us of your truth once again. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you feel this way sometimes, but there are those times in life where problems come fast and furious to the point where it feels like it's just one problem after another. Ministry can feel that way. It feels like there's one fire to put out only to be countered by another fire. But one thing I've learned in my time at Harvest, and this has been, believe it or not, quite transformative, is there is a sense here, thanks to David's leadership, no doubt, but that when what we call problems occur, that they're viewed not as such. Instead of problems, they are called opportunities. Now, when Mark says it, sometimes it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's still a reminder that if God is sovereign, if God is in control, that when something comes our way that seems like a problem, it really is an opportunity, a gospel opportunity for God to work. A way for us not to view it as something derogatory or detrimental, but truly as something that God wants to do through it. Mark will often remind us of Sunday school opportunities we have or building opportunities we might have. And like I said, sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek, but it really is helpful to hear it that way rather than, oh no, we have another problem. So keep that in mind this morning, because Psalm 71 is unique in that it focuses on old age. And it includes the opportunities that come with living longer. James Boyce calls it a psalm for old age, and I find it interesting that we're going through the Psalms psalm by psalm each week, and David should be the one preaching this sermon because he is more of an expert in old age than I am. But clearly I must know a little something about old age, otherwise I wouldn't be here. But in this time, I'm focusing on the fact that many experts think that Psalm 70 and 71 are one, belong together, or are one psalm. And so you'll notice in Psalm 71, there's no author, but Psalm 70, David is mentioned. Most think that David wrote Psalm 71. I'm operating under that assumption. But as we think about this idea of old age, we all either fall into the category of being of an older age, or we're heading there very quickly, or we know somebody that we love and care for who is in that category. So, if you're not old this morning, this doesn't mean you can check out. This is for us all. So there's 4 points I want to consider from the psalm. The first is olden opportunities. The second is pondering the past. The third is a fruitful future. And the last is present praise. So first, olden opportunities. It goes without saying that with each year of life come added challenges and opportunities. This shouldn't surprise us. We are a victim of the fall, by the way, aren't we? We will experience death. We are experiencing decay, and it's a part of living in light of the fall. But Paul anticipated that in 2 Corinthians 4. If this is an issue that you particularly struggle with, I encourage you to memorize these verses so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I believe David makes a list from Psalm 71 of all the opportunities that we face with old age. The first one is a decrease in strength. Verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." It goes without saying that with old age comes added weakness, a loss of previous strength, a loss of previous abilities. Health problems, of course, increase. John Wesley, that great Methodist evangelist, lived to be 88 years old, and he kept a diary most of his life. On his 86th birthday, this was his entry. "This day I enter on my 86th year. I now find I grow old. One, my sight is decayed so that I cannot read small print. Two, my strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years since. Third, my memory of names, whether of persons or places, is decayed till I stop a little to recollect them. What I should be afraid of is, if I took thought for tomorrow, that my body should weigh down my mind and create either stubbornness or irritability at the increase of bodily infirmities." And then he says, "But thou shalt answer for me, O Lord my God." He commiserates, he confesses his weakness in his diary, but ends by saying basically, "But God, I trust you. I'm going to trust you through these difficulties." There is a decrease in strength with old age. There's also the potential for an increase in loneliness. the increase of being alone, or even the increase of fear of being alone. Verses 9 through 11 bring this out. He says, "Don't cast me off in the time of old age." He says that his enemies speak concerning him that God has forsaken him, and there is none to deliver him. As we grow old, we may find ourselves less and less help, with less and less loved ones around us, whether due to circumstances or even death. It may seem like there's less and less help offered to us. My mom is 81. She lives alone in Michigan, and it's hard for her son and my brother, who also lives out of state, but she is doing fine and surrounded by friends. But nonetheless, I'm sure she feels the sting of being alone more and more. But David says, verse 12, "Be not far from me." He recognizes this truth, that he is never alone who is where God is. God is everywhere. So he recognizes that even in his loneliness, he is never alone. There's an increase potentially in being a target. Verses 10 through 13 speaks of the enemies who are out to get him. Verse 24 speaks of, "May they be put to shame who sought to do me harm." David's enemies are very different than the enemies we face in our old age. But nonetheless, with age comes increased vulnerability. Maybe due to our physical limitations, maybe due to our mental compromise, maybe due to our being less technologically savvy or less aware of how the world works anymore. Our family experienced this recently. Extended family, a woman who was a widow began to become very lonely and desperate for companionship, and she ended up speaking with a man on a dating platform, and he quickly convinced her that they were in love, that they were on the way to getting married, that they were going to travel the world, and all of this without having met him face to face. And unfortunately, he was able to convince her to the extent that she wired him money and gave him bank account information. Thankfully, you know, family came to her aid and rescued her from the situation, but it's just an example of, we can become a target in our older age. And David acknowledges this. And lastly, there's an increase in troubles. Verse 20. "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again." It stands to reason that if we live in a sinful, broken world for any amount of years, the problems that we see, the calamities that we see are only going to be pile up, aren't they? And it can result in discouragement, cynicism, a hard heart toward God and others. But David trusts that God will revive him again and bring him up again and comfort him again. I love that repeated use of the word "again," because there's still hope with God. There's always hope with God. He will revive again and again and again. Mitch Albom, who was a sports journalist from Detroit who became semi-famous with his book Tuesdays with Maury, wrote another book called Have a Little Faith, and it was based on two men that he knew, a pastor from Detroit and a rabbi from Detroit, and he had spent a lot of time with both of these men, and he hadn't seen the rabbi for many, many years, and this is what he reports upon seeing him at the end of his life. He says, "Here he seemed much smaller, more frail. He had lost a few inches to old age. His eyes narrowed into a wise, thoughtful gaze. He moved with the practiced steps of a person who worried about falling down." And then this is the line that got me: "Mortality now arm in arm with him." It's a powerful phrase, mortality arm in arm with him. And it can seem disconcerting. It can seem discouraging to have mortality walking with us arm in arm. And yet, We know this truth from Scripture, that it is God Himself who ultimately walks arm in arm with us. He is with us. He never will forsake us. So for David, despite the opportunities presented by old age, there is yet hope found in pondering the past, facing a fruitful future, and enjoying present praise. First, he ponders the past, verses 5 and 6. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I've leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. In verse 17, he says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. In the face of uncertain future, he is able to stare it down, knowing that God has shown himself faithful to him so many times that he can be sure that God will be faithful in the future, or in the present circumstances. Boyce writes, have you known the Lord from childhood? If you have, you're fortunate because you can look back over a lifetime of God's faithful care and provision. Have you known the Lord for many years, maybe not from your childhood? If so, you are fortunate for the same reasons. You can look back on all of the ways God has been faithful and be sure that he will remain so in your present circumstances. If you heard David's sermon last week, he mentioned Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, who was martyred in AD 156. I won't repeat the whole story, but there is one line that is important here. He was facing being burned at the stake for his faith, purely for professing Christ. And they demanded that he reject Christ. And this is what he said, for 86 years I have been Christ's slave, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who has saved me? Polycarp was able to look back on 86 years, so convinced of God's faithfulness that facing certain death was not going to cause him to walk away or be discouraged. So there is a past to ponder. There's a future, a fruitful future as well. Easily the most repeated frustration that I hear from older folks through the years, as their faculties deteriorate, as they grow weaker, and so on, is the question of, what am I still doing here? What is my purpose? Why doesn't God take me? And those questions, of course, are often asked because a person recognizes they aren't able to do what they once were able to do. They feel meaningless. They feel like their lives aren't worth anything anymore. But David's approach to old age was not like this. Not only did he look to the past to remember God's goodness, he also looked to the future in terms of the work yet remaining to be done. He knew that if God had left him in life and had not yet taken him home, it was because there was work yet to do. And this work, did you hear it, was testifying to the coming generations about God. Verses 15 through 18. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds, of salvation all the day, for their numbers pass my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, O Lord, alone. O God, from my youth you've taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. In verse 24, we can find it as well. My tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. So we are, as long as we have breath, we have things to say to those coming behind us. We have opportunity to share the goodness and faithfulness of God. Not only that, if you're looking for a fruitful future, don't forget that that you can have a prayer ministry that maybe you never were able to have when you were younger and busier and more active. As long as we live, if we believe that God is sovereign, then we must believe that there is work yet to do for, that He has work yet to do for us. Charles Simeon, another preacher, was a 19th century Anglican preacher. After 54 years of ministry, he retired, and a friend was shocked when he discovered that he was still getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning each day to pray and study Scripture. When it was suggested that maybe he take it easy, Simeon retorted, "Shall I not now run with all my might when the winning post is in sight?" I love that quote. There's a novel from 1989 called Remains of the Day. It became a film starring Anthony Hopkins. It's a really strange book because it's all about an old English butler who never took a holiday. And so he finally takes a week or two off, and that's the story. It's not worth reading, probably, but one thing that it made me think about is the title, Remains of the Day, and it's important to look at because this is the advice he got from a fellow butler who was in the same age as he was, who was facing retirement years. And he says, "You've got to enjoy yourself. The evening's the best part of the day. You've done your day's work. Now you can put your feet up and enjoy it. Ask anybody, they'll tell you the evening's the best part of the day." And then he responds by saying, "Perhaps there is something to his advice, that I should adopt a more positive outlook and try to make the best of what remains of my day." So if you think about your life, and some of us are in the sunset of our lives, the evening is the best part of the day. Enjoy what remains of your day. There is work left to do. There's work left to enjoy. But I want you to notice this in closing, that what seems to be the most important thing for David as he considers the older believer and how he spends the remainder of his day, it's present praise. Throughout this psalm, it starts with praise, it ends with praise, it's filled throughout with praise. Verses 3 and 7, he acknowledges that God is his refuge. Verse 5, he confesses that God is his only hope. Verse 6, his praise is continually of God. Verse 8, his mouth is filled with praise and glory all the day long. Verse 14, his hope is in him continuously, and he praises him more and more. He shouts for joy. He praises him with a harp. He praises him with a lyre. His lips shout for joy. He sings praises to God. It's unmistakable. And it's no mistake that in a psalm about old age that the worship and praise of God occupies the most important part, the biggest part of the psalm. David looks to the past to remind himself of God's faithfulness. He looks to the future to remind himself of the work yet to be done. Then, having done both of those things, listen, he turns to the present and begins to do exactly what he has been talking about. He bears witness to God now. So it sounds to me like Psalm 71 is teaching us that no matter how old we are or how old we become, that we have glorious purpose in this world until we are called home. My son is a student at Liberty University. Wave, Carson. He's going back for his senior year, but he was able to secure an internship this summer with a company called Roundstone Insurance, a smaller health insurance company. I had not heard of it, but they operate out of Lakewood. And when Carson came home after his first day of the internship, you know, we asked questions about it, he told us about it. But one of the things he was really excited about was the building, which kind of surprised us. And he told us about it, and we understood once we heard a little bit about it and actually saw it. He took David and I on a tour of it recently. And so instead of explaining the building to you, I'm going to show you. Rich is going to pull it up. It was built in 1922. It operated as a church for a long time. But then when the church closed, Roundstone came in and remodeled it and is now using it. And it's a fascinating place. just very unique for a business. This is the main sanctuary, the balcony there, the stained glass. In fact, they don't use artificial lighting. They rely on the sun and the stained glass to provide the light. You'll see here in a moment the CEO's office, which is the length of the foyer, looking out in the front. So his patio is the front steps of this beautiful church. So there's a balcony overlooking everything. There's a gym. Oh, this is the kind of the fellowship hall where they have company-wide meetings and luncheons and so on. There's a gym. There's a golf simulator. It's just a really cool, creative way to use that space. And, you know, set aside the kind of sad part of it, that a place of worship is now a place of business. That's kind of a bummer. But if you think about that building, outwardly it's kind of old looking. It's probably kind of crumbling. But inwardly, they have redesigned it. They've remade it. And it is now a place of business, a place of great use and effectiveness. And so it's an illustration of 2 Corinthians 4. That building is an illustration of us. Outwardly, we are wasting away. It's just reality. But inwardly, God is doing a new thing day by day. We do not lose heart. Our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. So as we face these opportunities afforded us by older age, remember that that is not the end of the story. The reality is God is doing something in us, in you, that is glorious for His praise and honor. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You do not abandon us to ourselves, to our despair, that You promise to work in our hearts and lives even until our last breath. Lord, help us as we do age, that not to be discouraged by aches and pains and struggles, but to instead trust You as the one who has proven Yourself over and over again and who continues to prove Yourself. Help us to praise You as a result and honor You. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.